Friday Night Wine Fight contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Hey guys, Amy here. I just wanted to let you all know that we have set up a Buy Me a Coffee account. What is Buy Me a Coffee, you ask? Well, it's a platform where you can donate as little as the cost of a coffee to our podcast. Your donation will go towards the running costs of this podcast. Our goal is to reach $480, which is the yearly cost of our platform host, Buzzsprout. You can find the link to our Buy Me a Coffee page on our socials, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and Instagram, or at our blog, which is www.fridaynightwinefight.blogspot.com or at www.buymeacoffee.com/FNWF podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Now on with the show.
Welcome to Friday Night Wine Fight.
I'm Sarah.
I'm Amy.
And I'm Bianca. We are three Melbourne girls who had nothing better to do than start a podcast while we were all living la vida locked down. But now we're actually freaking free. We've said it before that we're free. We'll say it again that we're free, but we're actually fucking free. So yes.
For now, although, we're free. Yeah.
Although I did go to the supermarket and then my daughter and her friend got out of the car and went, "Where's your mask?" And I went, "We don't need one anymore." And they're like, "Are you sure?"
And
like,
you do.
No, masks are gone.
No, so, in the supermarket you do.
Yeah. Yeah, for fuck's sake. I thought we were done with the fucking masks. Oh. No.
And also, office at work. Oh, wow. I want that rule to stay.
Yeah, that's a Sarah rule. That's not an everywhere rule. I went to my office today with no mask on. Yeah. So that time that you spent last night burning your masks in your fireplace, yeah, that was silly.
Yeah. Good thing I still have my, like, massive pack of disposable ones. So, yeah. So stocked up. But, yeah, anyway, if you didn't know, we take aim at one topic. Well, is it one? Probs not. Several topics each week.
One topic. 97, 460 million tangents.
Yeah. Now, we're still waiting for our listeners to let us know whether they want a tangent episode. Clearly they don't. I can't imagine why.
Every episode is a tangent episode. So.
Yeah. So, ladies, what are we drinking this evening? Oh, refreshing.
So refreshing.
I just love how sultry that was. It was silence and air. You keep making up new fragrances, mate. I love it. Air by Earth, but by Sarah.
But not by Sarah, by trees in the environment. But yeah, what am I?
Air by trees.
Yeah, but by Sarah.
But really, by trees.
Branded by Sarah. Copy bride of Sarah.
Getting depressing, it really is.
I am drinking La Provençale Rosé because delicious reasons. It's still going and it's still fabulous, so here I am.
Yeah. I'm drinking Bailey's because I feel like dying.
Trap.
And it's Christmas.
It's trap.
So, yay. Christmas time. It's the closest to eggnog I'll get. All right. Yeah, I will not do eggnog because eggnog is disgusting. What are y'all on about? Like, why is this in mass production? It's disgusting.
Depends how much rum you put in it. So.
Oh, no. I don't even like rum. I mean, the captain's not a nice man. And the cracker, you can't go near. And Sailor Jerry, he's a bit rapey.
Yeah, not that one. More like a Malibu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a white rum.
Yeah, it's still disgusting. I'm drinking Bailey's. So, Sarah, what is our topic for tonight?
Well, holy shit, it's that time of year again. The time of year when we are done with everything.
I think Billy Connolly said it best. Ding dong merrily at high. Fuck you and a partridge in a pear tree.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Seriously, we're just fucking done. We just need a fucking holiday.
Oh,
I'm I'm so over it.
How is this the middle of the year for the US? Like the financial year. Oh, God, this is, Or the start of the financial year, whatever it is. Yeah, it's the middle of our financial year. What am I on about? Hello, Bailey's my old friend. No.
Scatter like, my brain.
This is their tax time. Could you imagine having to, right, the end of the year, the amount of fucking nuts it is, Christmas, New Year's, and taxes? Oh, this is bullshit.
However, would like to get my tax return at this time of the year, though. That would be helpful.
Would be helpful because you got school fees and all the rest of it. Oh.
Holidays, all the things.
Yeah, I need to do that too. Ugh. Nah, fuck it. And you really do want to just say fuck it to your job, but you can't because you're an adult with responsibility and children. And you need money to live.
I'm so proud that that.
While losing your will to live.
You're adulting now, Sarah. I'm so proud of you. Welcome to the shit fest that the rest of us live in. It's amazing.
Yeah. But on the brighter side, we get to watch Christmas movies this time of year.
Yes, we do.
But some Christmas movies are not actually Christmas movies, but they're more like Christmas adjacent movies.
Yes.
Yeah. So that means although they might be set around Christmas, they're actually movies not set on Christmas or doesn't rely on Christmas to be, you know, a factor and could in fact be set at any holiday and still work.
Yes.
Yeah. That explains it, right?
Yeah.
Those were words that made sense.
Those were words.
And then some of my favourites to watch.
Yeah.
In fact, it's pretty much the only Christmas type movies that I watch are Christmas adjacent movies. But
yeah, exactly.
Why? I'll discuss why later.
Christmas Hallmark movie.
You're a tragic human and I don't understand you.
Christmas movies that are not so Christmas movies. I'm going to call this episode Not So Christmas Movies.
I love it.
Yeah. So, a couple of examples of these not so Christmas movies are, of course, Die Hard.
Yes.
Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yes.
Batman Returns.
Yes.
Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Yes.
In Bruges.
Oh.
I don't know if any of you have watched In Bruges.
No.
Okay, so my partner actually made me watch this movie, and I actually enjoyed it. Ooh, it is so fucking strange, but I enjoyed it. And now every time I see him, I'm like, three gay beers, please. That's one of the lines. Three gay beers, please. Anyway, and Iron Man 3.
Oh, really? Ooh,
yeah. That's interesting. It was Christmas.
Yeah, it was set around Christmas, but not actually anything to do with Christmas.
No.
Yeah. So with that, I'll jump into my movie, which is The Grinch Who Stole Christmas. And I know it has Christmas in its name, but really, this movie is just about a guy who really hates people. Okay.
So
that
true.
Is the basis of this movie. It has nothing to do with Christmas. It's just he wants to fuck with the people he hates.
And if it was any festival or celebration that the village folk were throwing, he would just be there to fuck it up because he's that guy.
It could have been the Grinch that stole Halloween.
Could have been the Grinch that stole Lisa. It's fine. It's
just a guy that wants to fucking piss people off because they're assholes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sending their shit up to his house just to dump it there.
Yep.
Assholes.
Exactly.
But actually, that's not the movie I've chosen. That was a good one, wasn't it?
You had me there.
I had you there. Totally.
I actually thought you were going to talk about The Grinch.
No. I don't want to be beaten by my mother for bad-mouthing The Grinch.
It is a good film. I like it.
It's great. It's a great movie. I love it. No, actually, I'm talking about a movie that was released in 1984, the best year for movies and music and people.
And humans. And humans.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck you both.
Okay.
Tomorrow. Okay.
I'll try to keep my pants between now and then. Okay.
So this movie was more of a Halloween movie than a Christmas movie. And that movie is The Gremlins.
I love this movie.
Yeah, so good.
Set around Christmas, but not so Christmassy. So this movie runs for 1 hour and 46 minutes and has a 7.3 star rating on IMDb. It stars Zach Galligan. Galligan? Is that how you say his name?
Sure.
Stars him as,
right.
Yeah, as Billy. So we've got Phoebe Cates as Kate. That is so weird.
I was inventive.
So inventive. Corey Feldman.
Oh, Corey.
Yeah. He stars as Pete. And Harry Carey Jr. as Mr. Anderson. Can I just point out he was one of the priests in The Exorcist?
Priest or the old priest?
I'm pretty sure he was the old priest.
Ah, he wasn't the holy water. Good.
Oh, maybe he was the young priest. I can't remember which one he was. But, yeah, and it has so many more people in it. Like,
yep.
So many more. But I didn't want to go through. So, the basis of the movie is small mutant green monsters tear through a small town, the small town, of Kingston Falls. Shenanigans ensue as a mild-mannered bank teller accidentally releases these hideous monsters after gaining a new pet and violating two of the three simple rules.
This annoyed me so much. It wasn't hard. Like, why?
Yeah.
Don't get them wet.
Yeah.
Do not feed after midnight. Both those rules were violated. And do not expose to direct light.
Bright light. Yeah. Bright light.
Yes. So it is then up to him, with the help of his friends and new pet Gizmo, to save the town and the people in it. So this movie is a comedy horror. And it was produced on an $11 million budget.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that much back in those days? I don't know.
It was a fair amount.
Oh, I think. Okay.
Like, not one of, like, the top movies, but it was still, you know, top end.
Hmm.
So it was released in North American theaters on June 8th, 1984. The same day as Ghostbusters.
Oh, that's hard.
Yeah.
So Gremlins actually ranked second with 12.5 million in the first week, 1.1 million less than Ghostbusters.
God, what a time to be alive. So I go and see Ghostbusters or see Gremlins.
I know, right? Oh, God, I'm so jealous.
Only you weren't just 3 months old, Sarah. Jeez.
I know. And you also had Star Wars out that year.
Oh, God.
Just saying. So by the end of its American screening on November 29th, it had grossed $148,168,459 domestically.
Okay.
Yeah, and it made the fourth highest grossing film of the year behind Beverly Hills Cop, Ghostbusters, and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Wow, what a year.
That was a fucking amazing year for movies.
Oh, when the 80s amazing.
Yeah. So by February in 1985, the film had grossed $212.9 million worldwide. That's a lot.
Yep.
In such a short amount of time.
Wow.
So the film had been nominated for a few awards. So with the Saturn Awards, it had actually won Best Horror Film, Best Director, nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Dick Miller.
Well, I feel like just Best Supporting Actor should have gone to Christmas, though.
Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'm down with that. Yeah.
I mean, because it could have been replaced by anyone. Let's say that. Right? But, yeah, it was still a support. Yeah. Support to the plot.
Yeah, totally. So, yeah, even Corey Feldman got a nomination for Best Young Actor, Best Writer nomination. It won Best Music and Best Special Effects.
Yeah.
And the Young Artist Awards. Best Family Motion Picture Film adventure category. It won that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's my bit. Yeah. That is literally all I've done.
I actually
keeping it short because, again, too much talking.
I really liked Gremlins 2 as well. In fact, like when I was rewatching these movies, I probably watched Gremlins 2 more than I watched Gremlins 1. Just because really? Gremlins 2 was funnier. It was more ridiculous.
It was pretty ridiculous. And then you had that one with the ridiculous lips.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I had so many teachers throughout my schooling life that looked like that girl gremlin, I tell you.
Oh,
lovely.
Well, that was also set around Christmas, so.
Yeah, lovely that teachers.
Should be added. Gremlins 2 should be added to that list.
Oh, well.
So, Amy, what have you got for us?
Yeah. I, like in other topics, are very opinionated about this. Yeah, who knew? I am an opinion. Hey, look out.
We did.
Mainly because I don't like traditional Christmas movies. So any excuse to throw an action movie in around the holidays, I'm down.
Yeah.
I'm totally down.
Same.
I especially hate those Christmas rom-coms with a fiery passion, and they tend to be on repeat during the holidays. So all those movies Sarah likes, I hate them. I hate them so much.
Watching them. That new one on Netflix, Love Hard.
Oh, God.
Nope.
It was hilarious.
Oh, no, I can't cope. My face caves in. Anyway, so tonight I will be covering the action movie classic, A Lethal Weapon. I grew up watching this movie and I still love it. I have seen all the sequels and I quote the lines from the movie frequently. I often ring the anchor in a bit of a tiz, quoting Lyra Getz from Number 2. Okay. I love him. Love it. I love it, love it so much. There's another line in this movie. Actually, it's in the third one or the second one. Second one. I'm not allowed to say because it's a bit wrong now. But, yeah, it's great. Great series of films. Anyway, so you may or may not notice that this movie, the first one, gets a few runs during the holiday period. And it's because this movie is set around the Christmas time period. Yeah. So in my mind, if the movie has a Christmas in it somewhere, I'd settle for a Christmas tree in any movie scene. Any scene, if there's a Christmas tree, it's a Christmas movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Plot doesn't have to be about Christmas itself.
Nope.
Don't care. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let me discuss A Lethal Weapon for a moment. The movie was released in 1987 and stars Danny Glover, Gary Busey, and Mel Gibson. Fun fact. Eric Clapton was one of the music directors on this movie. Another fun fact, after reading Eric Clapton's Wikipedia page, I found out he's not the fun human I thought he was. I'm not going to go into why. Let's just put him in the Mel Gibson bucket and we'll move on. Yeah.
I love Mel Gibson.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of reasons we should go into about that, but we're not going to do that on this show. We'll do it in another show. Anyway. We'll call it What's Wrong with Bianca. Anyway.
Yeah. Why do I love humans who are wrong? I don't know.
Anyway.
Give me some broken. I'll try and mend it.
Story of my life. I'll probably date it.
Yeah. Let me try and fix you.
You don't have enough red flags on you, darling. Here's some more. Now I'll date you. Yeah.
And this is why we're all friends. We're just red flags trying to fix it.
Yeah.
We're just literally red flags leading red flags. That's what we're doing. Yeah. So many scenes of the Lethal Weapon movie feature Christmas decorations, and there is one scene where Mel Gibson's character, policeman Martin Riggs, is in the back of a truck during a sting pretending to be a Christmas tree salesman and a low-level drug dealer. In the opening scene, it shows a woman doing some drugs and then jumping off a building. The room she did it in, the room that she was snorting the drugs in, had a Christmas tree in it. And then the building she jumps off had Christmas tree lights on it. Coincidence? Yep. Coincidence. Why would you set a movie around Christmas? Like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Because Christmas is the highest rate for suicides?
No, that's actually not. I'll get into why. Yeah. Coincidence, maybe. The plot of the movie is that Riggs and Roger Murtagh are partnered together and neither of them are happy about it. Riggs is a bit of a nutter. His wife was murdered and it's just like a whole long thing. I'm not getting into it. And Murtagh is just trying to keep his head down until he can retire. So Murtagh gets a call from an old friend who's looking into his daughter's apparent suicide. In doing so, the pair discover a heroin smuggling operation and are pursued by a drug gang. In the end, the unlikely pair begin to like each other, and after putting an end to the drug gang, Murtagh invites Riggs to join his family for a Christmas Day meal. Was the Christmas setting important to the movie? Nah. Could it have been set at any other time of the year? Absolutely. So why was this movie set at Christmas? Well, I will answer this. The writer of the Die Hard movie, because Die Hard, not sure if anyone else knows this, but Die Hard was actually a book and it's not called Die Hard, so don't go looking for it as Die Hard. It was called something else and they changed it into a movie. So the writer of the movie Die Hard, which again, Christmas classic in my mind, his name is Stephen D'Souza, and he said this. One of our producers, Joel Silver, had made Lethal Weapon the previous year, which was also set during the holidays. So this was talking about when he was writing Die Hard. And Joel D'Souza had decided that he liked all of his movies to take place at Christmas time because then they will be very likely to be played on television every December and we'll all get residual checks. So there you have it. Absolutely fucking deliberate because it caters to all those poor saps like me who are sick of the Christmas sap movies.
Yeah.
And I just want some action. Throw a guy off a building. I don't care. This is awesome. Couple of fiery car wrecks. Yep, I'm in. Gunfire. Done.
And they just want the extra checks.
Correct. And they will keep getting a run at Christmas time because the networks want something else to show people. So there you go. If it's got some Christmas in it,
I love you can throw it
in there. Smart. Soup's smart. So, there you have it. Some movies, despite not actually being about Christmas, feature Christmas, so they get a run on TV around Christmas time. Yeah. And I'm all for this. I'm not a massive fan of Christmas movies, except for Scrooged and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, yes, absolutely, 100%. Gonna fry that cat. Oh, fuck it, yes.
No, thank you.
Oh, God. And the Santa Claus. I actually re-watched the Santa Claus movies recently because my daughter's at an age where I thought she might like them. And she likes them all, whereas I'm still only really a fan of the first one. So,
yeah.
So that's my bit.
Well, listen, Die Hard is a great film. It is. But saying it's a great Christmas film at this point is well-worn territory.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for actual holiday movie alternative to watch in December, something that takes place during the holidays but isn't A Wonderful Life, Miracle on 34th Street, A Christmas Story, or one of the 97 versions of A Christmas Carol. There are many other Christmas adjacent movies out there. Movies that are a hint of Christmas without all the usual Christmas trappings and lessons. Movies that take place during the holiday season. We have discussed quite a few already, right? And they feature brightly lit trees and snow. Yes. You know, maybe even a Christmas Carol or two. Oh, you know, they're in there. Yeah. But we aren't learning the real meaning of the holiday or taking over for Santa because he's injured. You know. Yeah. And, here's mine. And thank you to Vulture.com for writing my article for me. L.A. Confidential. I fucking love this movie. Yes. 1997. Yeah. Stuck in the 90s, as always. Titanic is an undeniably a great movie, but there's an argument to be made that L.A. Confidential should have won the Best Picture Oscar that year.
There just wasn't a freight train behind that like there was with Titanic,
But if you compare the two, I didn't realise they came out the same year. Didn't even know. I mean, 97, I wasn't interested in the Oscars. What were they? Don't know. L.A. Confidential. If I hold the two up against each other, L.A. Confidential all the way. I didn't realise they were up against each other. I'm like, this is, Anyway, it's a terrific drama based on a novel by James Ellroy. Delves into police corruption and cover-ups in the LAPD of the early 1950s. Yes, it's periody-ish, and it's so good. The makeup, the hair, the acting. Oh, yes, the sets. Oh, just brilliant, right? The movie actually begins on Christmas Eve with a violent police station brawl as several cops, juiced up on massively spiked eggnog, beat several Hispanic and Black suspects in their cells.
Oh, yeah.
The headline splashed across the newspaper the next morning is Bloody Christmas, which happens to be the title of another movie that isn't on any of our lists yet. This leads us into the main plot. Guy Pearce, Russell Crowe, Kevin Spacey, they all work to figure out who killed several people at a diner, including Russell Crowe's partner, who was involved in the Christmas Eve scandal. Now, this all sounds dark and serious, and it is. But having the movie set at Christmas works as something of a mental balm, demonstrating that there are some good and nice things in this world, even if it is filled with dirty things and bad people. Appropriately, the soundtrack features The Christmas Blues by Dean Martin, one of the great sad Christmas songs that should be a lot more popular than it is.
Mm.
Yeah.
That is my Christmas vote. It's one of those things, I just wanted to say, it's one of those things, though, that, like, if you're seeing bad cops or bad people do bad stuff, and then you find out, like, they've got a family and stuff, and all the way through you're just like, yeah, kill that guy, he's an arsehole. And then he's, like, you know, sitting there with his kids and reading them stuff at Christmas, you're like, oh, no, don't kill him. No, he's got kids and it's Christmas. No, don't do that. Just beat the shit out of him or something. I don't know. It is. You don't want bad things to happen around this time.
Yeah.
You just don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, do you want a fun fact that I discovered during the week?
I love tidbits.
Yeah,
there's some tidbits. Yeah.
So do you want to know what movies feature Christmas but are not necessarily about Christmas? And it's a feature all the way through movies about this particular person.
Okay.
If the movie has the birth of Jesus, technically a Christmas movie.
Jesus was born in the summer, and the summer is the middle of the year. It's not even at Christmas.
But actually,
the Christians stole.
Wasn't it spring? Wasn't he born in March?
Yeah.
They don't have to say, you know, the 25th of December on the screen or anything like that. If it just depicts the birth and doesn't actually say anything, it's still the birth of Christ, which is what Christmas is, right?
No, because the Christians stole Yule, because they didn't want the pagans to have a fucking day.
Yeah.
And as a pagan, that pisses me off. Because I'm not a Christian, I can get pissed off. I don't have to hold up those values.
Well, I maintain that if it's the birth of Jesus, technically that's what Christmas is supposed to be. So,
I mean, if he was born in Australia, sure, but he wasn't. Because of the time of year, every time it's depicted, it's fucking sunny. I'm sorry, but that's not where you are, mate.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying that if it's the birth of Christ, that's what Christmas is supposed to be about. Doesn't matter what time of the year they depict it as. If they've got that completely wrong, doesn't matter. It's still a Christmas movie because it's the birth of Christ.
Sure.
Yeah. Shut up. I'm sticking with it.
This is turning into a Friday night wine fight.
Yeah.
Don't make me hurl my Baileys at you.
That was not supposed to be what this podcast was about. I mean, I know that's what we said, but it's not what we meant.
Oh. Oh. Oh, put the bottle down.
Fine.
Won't glass anyone tonight, people. All right.
You're not in my house, so go for it. Fight me.
Oh, just because we're catching up in mine tomorrow. All right. I had so much fun researching this topic. Well, vulture.com, thank you very much again. as I did with the other topics over the last few weeks. However, we would love topic suggestions from y'all. If you have a topic which you would like us to discuss, email us at fridaywifi@gmail.com. Or hit us up on our socials. So we've got Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, Instagram.
Carry a pigeon, send a raven. We accept everything. Yeah. Actually, don't send birds to my house. That's wrong.
Send an owl.
Yeah, owl us. Yeah. Just hit us up. So to everyone who has listened to this, we would like to thank each and every one of you for your time and listening to our rubbish. Congratulations for making it through the silly season. You deserve a clap and a gold star. And
not
we hope you
clap,
found this entertaining.
And a bottle of vodka.
Enjoy. We're giving you the clap. You just get some cream and you can clear that up. It's fine. All right.
Bianca, stop giving people the clap.
She can't help it.
I can't help it. It's the Baileys. Leave me to bed. It's too much cream and I'm lactose intolerant. I'm dead. All right. We hope you found it entertaining and you're not using any of these facts. Or maybe the cream for the clap.
That's definitely probably that, a good fact.
Yeah, yeah. Use that.
Just use that. Yeah. So yeah, use that to make a poor decision in your life right now. Yeah. We hope you enjoyed the episode.
May the odds forever be in your favor during this crazy season. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Exactly. Merry Christmas.
Happy festive season.
Yes. Festivus for the rest of us.
Yay. Right.
Happy holidays.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.